first fight, but we can adapt it.
Who knows what may come next?
Having trouble with your thingamajig? Can't get the doovie watsy to interface with the clickety bit? Given up all hope of the digital wingwong working? Yeah, well, we hear your pain, Australia. So now, please welcome the only man in the world who can simultaneously program the set-top hoozit, reformat the doovalacky, and upload the whatchamacallit in three different languages. It's Paul Verhoeven in Nerds of a Feather.
Oh, is it getting warm in here? Is there a dork in the corner? Hello, Paul. Paul Verhoeven, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you guys doing?
Very well, thanks.
Good. We actually, there's a theme for the show today.
Is there really?
There is, yeah. And it's... or defending a nation from a legitimate aggressor, provided the parties involved adhere to the Geneva Conventions governing the legitimacy of certain kinds of weapons and the treatment of prisoners of war, which isn't catchy, but it is
accurate. Say it again.
Absolutely. Boing. Okay.
Okay, so we're covering shouting in songs and a really fast intro.
Well, the thing is, I was writing my stories this week, and every single one of them tend to bend towards war for some reason or another. So maybe something.
Do you have some anger issues at the moment?
Maybe I have been punching a lot of cats. But that's just a Tuesday for you. Yeah. Now the first story is this: the US is developing this kind of terrifying new military aircraft. It's a dirigible, you know, like an inflatable ship. Now it's a cross between
dirigible.
A saddle.
Not since Joanna Newsom's first album have I heard the word dirigible on Triple J.
They were going to call it the sprout and the bean, but wasn't going to kill people that way. Basically, the Pentagon's spending $400 million to make this 450-foot dirigible, which is going to, and I quote, float 65,000 feet above the Earth for 10 years, providing unblinking and intricate radar surveillance of vehicles, planes, and peoples below. Remember that terrible, like, dirigible crash in Germany a couple of decades ago? Mm-hmm. Was it called Led Zeppelin? It's absolutely revolutionary, said the guy who's developing it, this Mr. Dam. And
not Van Dam.
No, not Van Dam. I'm building a Zeppelin. Now, the chief scientist, which is this guy, he said that they're proposing it to be unmanned. And so it's kind of like a spy plane. No one needs to be in it. No, what it is, it's a cross between...
It's not a very good spy plane, though, is it? Because it's fairly large.
It's kind of easy to spot, yeah. And it's kind of more a cross between like a kite and a conceptual rock album, which I assume is going to coast above Beirut, blasting Days to Confuse before being shot down. And then when they photograph it, it will ironically represent the cover of the first album of said band. Yeah. Now, the military is also working on a robot suit, which is...
This is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. It's kind of like Iron Man, but it's uglier. Basically, Lockheed Martin, the company responsible for so much terrible destruction, have built this hydraulic-powered anthropomorphic exoskeleton, which will let you carry loads of up to 200 pounds. So it would be good for boxing matches, provided the key component of said match was, like, lifting things. But I clearly don't understand boxing.
Yeah, can people really move in this thing? Is there much, you know, can you be ducking
can
and
you
weaving?
Boogie?
You do. You look kind of like RoboCop. You know how he walks slowly into a convenience store and then kills people. Basically, the press release states that it lets you do deep squats, crawls, and upper body lifting. But I can do that stuff to an extent. Yeah. Look, what it can't do is it can't crush dinosaurs or spray Nazis with napalm. So it's not interesting. But also, it does come in handy if you want to blast xenomorphs out of airlocks. You know, and if you're like a parent and you catch your son being mauled by some hussy after the formal, you can stomp in and yell, "Get away from him, you bitch."
Did and that happen an to airlock, you?
Dad's got the Iron Man suit.
Maybe one day, yeah. And, of course, the Hadron Collider, which people have been harping on about a lot lately. You know how the Swiss broke their Hadron Collider?
Mm-hmm.
And it was the machine we were hoping would, reveal the Higgs boson particle. A bunch of US scientists are now racing towards the same particle, which, if it sounds anything like its namesake, looks like a swarthy fisherman. Mm. You know, Higgs boson. You know, look at the protagonist from Moby Dick? Patrick Stewart? No. This week, scientists in Illinois have announced new data that not only narrows the gap between them and, the Higgs boson discovery, but also suggests that the bigger machine might not be that well-placed, to find it. Basically, it's kind of triggered this race war between the Americans and the British.
So the Americans are saying that the underneath the Swiss-French border is the wrong place.
The Hadron Collider.
To find the Higgs boson.
They're saying that you don't need a big, expensive machine. They're saying you need a smaller, less expensive expensive machine to read the lower spectrum, well, which essentially means they can't afford a bigger machine. And basically, they have said it's kind of like overkill. So it's a bit like using the Death Star to circumcise someone.
poor Verhoeven. Can you hang around? Because we obviously need more of you after 8 o'clock. Part 2 of Nerds of a Feather coming up.
Having trouble with your thingamajig? Can't get the doovie watsy to interface with the clickety bit? Given up all hope of the digital wingwong working? Yeah, well, we hear your pain, Australia. So now please welcome the only man in the world who can simultaneously program the set-top who's it, reformat the doobalacky, and upload the whatchamacallit in 3 different languages. It's Paul Verhoeven in Nerds of a Feather.
He remains with us, and he remains devilishly handsome, Paul Verhoeven. What have you got for us? Are you remaining on the subject of war?
I am, yes. Do you want us
to play the thing again?
You can. Oh, God, I feel good. I've been dancing around all day about that song. It's so lovely. Now, you mentioned gaming war medals before, Robbie.
Yeah,
if you're like me, you're on the radio talking to you guys now. Lindsay, you're a bit like me, which would mean you're talking to yourself. Lindsay, stop talking to yourself.
I do that.
Let's start that again. If you're like me, you are probably lamenting, if you're a gamer, the lack of adulation gamers receive. I mean, there's professional gaming leagues, but those guys don't do anything but game. Marik, remember the time you and I parachuted north of the Cyan and we captured those 2 bridges behind Normandy and we had to hide in a cellar and kill those Nazis with your shoe and we won the Iron Cross?
Fondly.
Yeah, good times. But now gamers can get similar honours. So they actually have released these gaming medals, like with little ribbons, like proper awards. Military.
You know, and we're talking real life?
That you can touch?
You put them on your, like pin them on your shirt?
Well, they're not issued by the military, but they can actually be pinned on your shirt. So they're these actual metal, kind of these military-style medals with different gaming controllers on them.
Is this going to cause a problem on Anzac Day during the march?
I was going to say.
You know, and it's hard enough for grandchildren to get up there.
I have contacted the guys. It doesn't matter how good I am at Metroid. I bitch slapped that game. They won't let me walk.
Shocking.
Kind of unfortunate. Yeah. Now, of course, you guys know I am a bit of a gamer, and I do have some characters in a certain online game. Mm-hmm. And if you die in an online game, you can typically run back to your body and resurrect yourself.
Yep.
If you had like 1 online life and you couldn't res, nobody would fight. They'd sit around knitting all day online, right? Why knitting? Because shut up, that's why. But what happens when you actually die? What happens to your avatar in-game? Like, what happens to that character?
If you die in real life.
If you die in real life, what happens to that? They did a recent survey. Not with dead people.
Oh, good.
Surprisingly, they didn't say much. You guys had a good time laughing last year at my Warcraft actor, surely, remember? But
yeah.
If she died, what would happen to her? Who would put her through college, apart from the mentally ill?
Does it end up like one of those, you know, when you get bored playing games? I'm showing my intricate knowledge of the gaming world now.
Please do. Yep.
And you just want to shit everyone around you, so you just press all the buttons at once and they just run around in circles. Is that what happens if you die in real life? They just run around in circles and occasionally karate kick the air?
I've programmed my character to take her clothes off and thrust mindlessly at people. That's my ardent wish.
Yes.
But this guy in Oklahoma died recently, and he's a gamer, but he left this USB flash drive kind of break glass in case of emergency. So his son loaded it up, and it gave this message to give to his guildmates, right? Now, arguably the biggest shitstorm on Warcraft was when a guild held a funeral in-game in this clearing in this forest, right, for this real dude, this guildmate of theirs who died. And this happened when the game started about 4 years ago. And they advertised it quite prolifically on the forums, on the Warcraft forums. And this other guild thought, screw that, we're going to ruin it. So they actually filmed them crashing the funeral and slaughtering every single person there. And I kid you not, the fallout from this incident is Gaza-esque. Like, people are still yelling about it. I guess the message here is don't die. Pretty much.
Thanks for the advice. Good.
Thank you. You're welcome. And of course, Colonel. I did mention that a certain famous Colonel had been rescued from a watery grave. I refuse to concede, by the way, that I'm running out of steam on this war theme, and this is this is totally relevant.
Woohoo!
Absolutely nothing. A Japanese baseball team called the Hanshin Tigers won their first match in 21 years in 1985, and the fans were so amped that they wrenched free this massive stone statue of Colonel Sanders and tossed it in this river, right? In Osaka, because nothing says we won like a granite effigy of a chicken magnate crushing carp. Now, the reason they did it is because the fans saw a resemblance between Colonel Sanders and the American opposition player Randy Bass, who, right. And so they threw the statue in the river as a kind of screw you, because Randy Bass does like to swim upstream every year and lay eggs in the opponent's... no, that's salmon.
Oh, Randy Bass.
There we go. Rescue was actually reported that the Colonel was pulled up in two halves last week, because the divers were apparently looking for unexploded World War II mines, which raises a more important question. Why is Colonel Sanders called a colonel? Well, I did some research, and it turns out he was given an honorary title, Kentucky Colonel, in 35 by the governor. Thing is, Sanders chose to call himself Colonel just kind of in a parody of like a Southern gentleman as a way of self-promotion. But as an actual army man, when he was in his teens, he only made it to private. So for being a lion chicken swilling douche nozzle, he became a statue in Japan and accidentally killed a fish. I don't know where I'm going with this.
But you did get to use the term douche nozzle.
And yeah, which is almost, good as, almost as good as dong holster.
Almost. Thanks,
Paul Verhoeven. We can all exhale deeply. And thank you once again for bringing the news of the nerd to the nation.
See you guys next week.
Thanks, Paul.
Douche nozzle.
Bye. What?
Douche nozzle.
You're a douche nozzle.
Your face is a douche nozzle.
Your mum's a douche nozzle.
Oh, slam.
Sorry, Miss Hardy. Bobby, Marika, the doctor.
On Triple J.